Hey everyone, welcome to Nancy's Metaphysical World and More. My name is Nancy, and I host the show. And tonight, I have a great guest on. She is a friend of mine, has been a friend of mine for many, many years. So we go back a long way, so I'm going to bring her on real quick. Her name is Carol Doss. So Carol, welcome to the show.
Hi Nancy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay, Carol. How about you?
Hey, I couldn't be better. And you know what, my dear, we've been friends for many with a capital M.
Many, that would be very true. Almost from the first time I started, you were already doing it.
Well, I remember you came to the house for a reception. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. That's when you were a baby.
That's right. Just a little punky kid here.
You sure were.
Anyway, Carol does a lot of things, but I am going to let Carol explain a little bit about who Carol is, how long she's been doing it, and why she uses the variations. And if you go onto the website, I did upload an imprint of the palm, and you can look at that and the lines on that when I start to ask Carol questions, and maybe we'll be able to explain a little bit more about the palm for people. But Carol, first, let's tell the people who you are.
Well, Nancy, I am Carol Doss, and I am a palmist, astrologer, tarot card reader. And it's almost like having three children. My oldest one is palmistry, and astrology, I'd say, would be my second child, and the baby is the tarot cards. I really started out, tell you the truth, I had what I thought was a bad reading from somebody about my hand, took my hand, read it, didn't even ask her. Don't ever do that, by the way. And I thought, well, this is very interesting. I think I'm going to look and see what she sees. And I've always liked religions of the world. I've always liked psychology, philosophy. And I thought, this has got to be silly stuff. But, oh, my goodness, I fell in love with lines of the hands that I couldn't devour enough information, which is a wonderful thing. So what is it that you can actually see on the palm of the hand? Now, if we have anybody listening to us, hopefully, in the audience here, I would like you, if you don't have to have your phone in your hand, to look at your hands. Because what can you tell in your hand lines? Actually, it's a mirror of yourself. It's the idea of knowing yourself through the lines of your hands. And what we're looking for, actually, and Nancy, remember, your hand lines are different, so you're going to have to follow along a little carefully here. What we're actually looking for is an M on the hand. And which hand do we look for this M, and what does the M mean? The M on the right hand is usually money. The M on the left hand, a lot of times, is man, marriage, motherhood. Change all that if you're a guy. It could be daddyhood. You can still get married, though, guys. And the whole idea is, do your hand lines say the same thing? Now, remember, Nancy, yours do not. Remember that?
Yeah, they don't.
No, they don't. Okay, now, the M on the hand involves what line structures? Now, we're looking for a line around the thumb. It's called a lifeline. Vitality. We're looking for another line just below the fingers. It's called the heart. The emotional heart and really physical heart. Mostly I look at it as more the emotional heart. The middle line between the lifeline and the heart line is called the brain. Brain line, head line. The brain is concentration, rationalization, visualization. And then there's a fourth line that ideally starts somewhere by your wrist, somewhere in the middle of that lifeline maybe, and shoots its way up to the middle finger. And that, if all things are perfect, is called the M on the hand. The M. We need to have a lifeline. We need to have a brain. We need to have a heart. We need to have a destiny. What does the destiny line say? How well are we going through our path? And some people will say, well, Carol, I don't have a destiny line. what does that mean? I'm not here. A lot of times a person without a destiny line really is restless. Could be a very high achiever, though. High achiever, but, oh, my God, I'm not happy with this. Oh, my God, I'm not happy with that. And the destiny line is the line that is more intermittent. It comes and it goes. The lifeline can come and go. They call that breaks in the hand. Breaks are changes. Now, what about the left hand? What about you guys out there that are lefties? Are you left out? Better not. Our President Obama is left-handed. We have three presidents in a row that are left-handed, by the way. That's pretty good. The left hand, we want to look for the same lines. We want to look at a heart line, first horizontal line of the hand. We want to know where it goes. What finger does it attach itself to? How long is it? How short is it? We want to look at that middle brain line, mentality line, concentration, rationalization, visualization. We want to look at that line. We want to look at the lifeline. Does it go around the thumb without any interruption? Does it have any breaks in it? And we need that destiny line coming from the wrist somewhere, up, 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 crossing the brain line, ideally crossing the heart line, and up towards the middle finger. And we have two M's. The right hand usually is more our outer life, I would say, more conscious mind. The left hand, I feel, represents the people we pull into you. Now, the old books would say, no, the left hand is who you used to be. The right hand is who you are now. The old books would say, the left hand is you as a child, and the right hand is you as an adult. That could all be possibly true, but I feel you draw your partners from your left hand. If you're right-handed, the draw, who are you drawing to you? Now, the plot thickens, Nancy, when your hand lines are different.
Like mine.
Yeah. Who are you drawing? What are you drawing to you? And you could be more complex. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean bad. It means complex. Now, look at you were the only one that I know of that predicted a very quick and devastating downturn in our economy. You're the only one that I know. Now, is that a rational brain line? No. That was more the subconscious, more the psychic, more the past. Did you know? You know, where did you know that? Okay, the whole idea is that I feel that the left hand holds a lot of secrets. For are we precognizant? Do all of us really know? Do we have a feel for something? Are some people really more psychic than others? Sure. Depending on where those lines go. And again, that's where the plot thickens. You have a heart line that shoots its way, let's say it goes from under the little finger towards the index finger. That's considered a very idealistic temperament. What if your left hand has a heart line that shoots only maybe to the middle finger, to the ring finger? Well, does that mean you're good sometimes and not good other times? I feel it's more the pull of the partner you're going to get. There's something there that we can read about that partner. Okay, what does that say? That says, well, maybe you're the one that gets up and makes the coffee and he's the one that sits in bed. You know, you're doing it. He's taking it. It's not bad. It's just that that's the reading of it. What if you have, like you, Nancy, you have two brain lines. I think it was on your left hand.
Yeah.
Okay. What does that mean when you have two brain lines? Concentration, rationalization, visualization. What if one person has a straight brain line, goes across the palm? Very logical, usually. And a person who likes to get up and get going, too, by the way, I think. What if the brain line travels more to the area of the wrist? We call that the moon area down there. What if that brain line travels, and goes down? It dips. Well, I feel that person really is more right-brained, intuitive, and loves the night, by the way, because the night usually is more moon, lunar. And we have a different line of thinking. So we have the rationalists, the behavioralists, the cognitive people. We have different types of brains. Okay, now what if you have two brain lines? Well, maybe you get to the church on time. Maybe you get to the studio on time. Maybe you get to the calls on time. And maybe also you have that second brain line that's working away, doing and feeling more, I don't want to say supernatural things. I want to say higher octave things. And a second brain line can be a very useful thing. Also, sometimes the second brain line on the left hand can mean two marriages. We can go back to the mundane. Boom. Two M's, two marriages. But mostly it's more complex, and that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing if you're interested in meditation. It's a wonderful thing if you're interested in being intuitive. But what if you just want to have a nice, easy life, baby? Uh-uh. You're a little laugh over there. What if you just want to watch football every single Sunday of your life and, you know, just, and I love football, I think, is a wonderful thing. I'm just saying that. What if you just want to be left-brained, simple, and you have this on your hand? You're going to find experiences in your life that are going to draw you other places. Don't you think, Nancy?
Oh, without a doubt.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think that some of these things you were drawn to, you just put on your tap shoes and ran over there?
Some of the things, probably. Some of the other things, I don't think I just ran over there, but was almost forced to go over there.
All right, forced. That's a good word. Somebody else put your tap shoes on and pushed you over there. And maybe you were pushed and glided and you loved it, and maybe you were saying, why in the world am I over here? But a lot of times, hopefully, those pushes will work out. And now the thing that people say to me, well, Carol, are you parapsychological? Are you parapsychology, or are you in the occult? And I say, well, baby, I'm both. I love to analyze. I love to analyze the hand. You can analyze the fingers, the length of the fingers, the stiffness of the thumb. You analyze the phalanges of the fingers. You can go on and on and on with wonderful stuff. How many lines you have, how many lines you don't have. But basically, I really think that you can see yourself through the lines you have. Know yourself. And when I have to go into the door of the occult is when I can say to people, I should be able to see the future on these lines. Lines have a map. And they say, okay, that's why I have to leave you. And I say, okay, that's okay with me, but that's the difference. You go into the occult, I guess, when you maybe can say that you should be able to see future. And this is old stuff. We've got Egyptians, Indians, Gypsies, Chinese. We have tons of our ancestors in different cultures that have looked at the hand line, but mostly to where you should go in your life. Should you be an architect? Should you be a grave digger? What should we do with you? They looked at it for patterns. I'm not exactly sure who took it to the occult. I mean, we know something about the Gypsy readings and things, but there are plenty of books. I hope you can still get a couple. Cairo is one. C-H-E-I-R-O. He's wonderful. Language of the Hand. He came and he has all kinds of ages on the hand. How you should be able to see a person at 25 and predict what's going to go on with them for 30 or 35 or 40, etc., etc. Now, as a reader, the plot thickens when I have two hands to read. I have one hand that's clear as a bell, right hand, nice M, nice and easy, M, all the lines connect where they're supposed to be, no breaks, which are changes, no islands, which are disturbances of the line, usually negative disturbances. And the left hand is different. A lot of times, some of my clients, they say, Carol, come on, I don't have all day. Give me the facts. I don't care about, you know, whether I was born a man or whether I'm an old soul, or I don't care about my religious connections. I don't care about being centered. Am I going to get married? Am I going to have a man with money? And I'm thinking, why shouldn't you care about these things? These are the basic, there's nothing more in life than love and money that I can see. Or sometimes money and love, depending on who you are. Sometimes money brings love, love brings money. But then I have clients that are truly hurting. Widowed is a big one. Out of job is a very big one lately. Losses. Loss of children, wars maybe, whatever. And they're looking for, when will this ever get better? Is this it? Is this going to be it for me? And usually, you know, God willing, usually I can see when a pattern reinstates itself. Because a lot of people, their lifeline breaks. Breaks are changes. I've had a client come to me and say, oh my, I've been worried for 20 years. I'm supposed to die at 45. I'm now 50. I said, no, change. Did something change at 45? Well, I got divorced, or well, I got another job, or well, I moved, or something. I said, change. Death of your old life, maybe, but definitely not your death. I mean, this is a big thing. People love to predict bad news. And I think people that predict bad news constantly don't know what they're talking about. They just have to get it over with quick, get their money, and give a person a hanky, and away they go.
You know, and I agree with you, Carol, with all that. I have a question for you.
Sure.
Before I go any further. And not because of my hands, but let's just say in general. Because what you were just talking about, most people, you know, they'll go to somebody and they'll say, oh, you have a lifeline, you're going to live to be 98 years old, blah, 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 blah. But a lot of the lines have like little X's across them. So if somebody's looking at their lines right now, and they have like little X's that are crossing them, and it doesn't really matter which line it is, but like little X's, what do those little X's mean?
Well, sometimes you have little interferences on the line. They can be interferences on the line. And by the way, some people have an incredible amount of lines. That's a person, they used to say, as a worrier or an old soul. I do buy both, that you could be an old soul.
Mm-hmm.
They're detail minded. Yeah, those are the guys that are good to do the details on a project. A person who has simpler hands, that's the person who really can get out there and do the main job and let the person with the more of the lines on the hands take over for the details. But those little ladders, there's a lot of, they could be interferences. Maybe there's a block of some kind. But those are not that rare, and you can just get past those guys. I tell you what isn't that easy is breaks. All right, what if your right hand has no breaks? Now let's look at those lines again. We have a lifeline around the thumb. Okay. We have a brain line, middle horizontal line of the hand. You have two lines, but some people have breaks on that line. Breaks are breaks in the mentality. There, can it be a nervous breakdown? Can it be a break in, okay, we have to look at it as the M. It could be a break in anything. If it's on the left hand, it's usually a break in maybe the marriage, or with a child. But it's more hidden. That's the word I want to use. The left hand is more hidden. Now you lefties, all you have to do is reverse this message. Usually, the lines on the right hand are the more hidden. But lefties are more difficult to read, to tell you the truth, because you, I have to look at both very carefully, but you're supposed to sort of reverse things, that the right brain is really the left hand, and that's the logical hand, and then the right hand becomes more the subconscious hand. Okay, so back to your question, is that a obstacle? Usually. How bad is the obstacle? You must look at both hands, because your left hand is not only your man or your marriage or your unconscious or your subconscious or your superconscious or your beta, alpha, or your delta, or your theta. It's your backup. How do I handle this? What's my backup? How's my depression level? How's my coping skills? I mean, that's, and a lot of times you'll see those little laddery things on the hand, but you won't see them on the left hand. Or a harder thing is that when you don't see them on the right hand, you see them on the left hand. Well, that's really more marriage stuff, more subconscious stuff. Now remember, if you look at your sweetheart's hand right now, and you see little breaks or changes, don't, you know, oh my God. No, it could be a lot of things. Don't say, oh my God, there's a break here, you're going to leave me or whatever. No. Palmistry is not that simple. Everybody thinks it's simple. It's not simple. It's simple to get it wrong, but it's not that simple to get it right.
I have another question for you. For the Lifeline, when people are looking and there's like a curve that goes around the thumb, what if there's not a curve? What if it goes more straight toward the opposite side of your hand, for
example?
Oh,
if it goes straight towards what we call the opposite side of the hand is more the moon area. There's usually a division there. I've never seen a Lifeline that completely stops that semicircle. But I've seen a line that goes, that says goodbye to the original Lifeline, and the heavier line goes towards the moon area. Well, the books will say that's travel across seas, of course, because we're on the moon now. But it's definitely a huge change. Well, let's use, what is huge? To some people, not getting to church on Sunday because it's snowing is huge. Some people going to Alaska is not huge. So it's just a change. Now, would it be a change for the better? Now we have to look at other parts of the hand. There's usually a change there, though, Nancy. The original Lifeline is going to peter out a little bit. So it's going to lighten up. And the other line will become darker, usually. There's a point of decision, and it's usually two things. Money on the right hand, marriage or emotional things on the left hand. That could be your children. It could be just, do I paint the room blue or keep it green? I mean, you know, some questions are very big and some questions are not. But I usually find that is a person who's off on and exploring a whole new realm, and it's usually work. If it's on the left hand, it has more to do with love, passion. It doesn't have to be sexual. That's not a bad thing, but it could be, oh my God, look at this beautiful evening, or look at my, oh my God, I love gardening all of a sudden. Look at these plants growing. Or, oh my God, I can't stand the world. I used to be practical and the world was a good place. Now I'm thinking it over. You know, changes. Some are concrete changes involving your money, your home, your man, your marriage, your life, and some are spiritual. And a lot of times the left hand has more to do with philosophical. Oh, I was always a Protestant, so now I'm not so sure. What if I like metaphysical things, but I've never been trained like that? So if there is a flow, and it, okay, what I was going to say, it depends on the thumb. If your thumb, now this is another thing, you have to put the phone down. Some of you people, oh, you don't have a phone, just me. You just stop typing on your keyboard or whatever you're doing and take a hold of your sweetheart or whoever's in the room's thumb or your own. Try to bend it. If you're stiff and you don't bend, a change is going to be more difficult for you because that's the will. That's the will in the hand. They didn't cut those thumbs off for nothing in the old days. I mean, I see you can't hold much without a thumb, but they cut your will off. If you have a thumb that's supple and bends, what we used to call the hitchhiker's thumb, changes are easier. You kind of flow. how the plot really thickens when you have a stiff thumb in your right hand and a flexible thumb in your left hand. I think you have to look at everything. How's your brain? Say you have a change. That part of the hand is more like 45 to 50, I think, where you're talking about. Or let's say 50 to 55. We have to look and see where your destiny line is, too, because the destiny line tells you if you can handle the changes. Now, how about the heart line? We have to look at everybody and see if we can handle the changes. And there'll be, they usually are more subtle if they're on your non-dominant hand. And less subtle on your more dominant hand. I've seen people have that line. They still have the original lifeline, and the other line is flowing towards the moon area. And all of a sudden, the boss says, "You know what? You've got to be manager of two of our offices or two of our plants because we just got rid of somebody." And you know what that's going to mean? That's going to be hell in a handbasket for the person. He's got to be two places. You cannot tell that. So that's my story on that. What else have you got?
I have a question. Do people's hand lines change? Like if they take an impression, say, good impressions, and 6 months later, Carol, they take them again, do you think there could be changes somewhere in their lines, or do you think that they're pretty permanent?
I have seen patterns change, absolutely. Years ago, I took palm prints of all my clients, and I stopped doing that because, I mean, you talk about Lady Macbeth having a washing complex. These people connect. You know, I can't get the ink off my hands or whatever. So I kept the palm prints of people in those days, and I saw a lot of changes. I saw changes with meditators, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting thing. If you really feel you can meditate and call upon the higher power to help you with a certain something, I've seen changes that way. So that's a change of trying to change.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw an unusual thing where a lady, she had no interest in anything more than the mundane, which was good. And she had an odd thing. She had a circle around the line. They call it a health line. The health line is under the little finger. And it was a little circle, and I took the palm prints three times, and the circle kept getting dimmer and dimmer and dimmer, and that doesn't happen, and there was no circle there in her hand in the first place. Well, anyway, I thought somebody up there was trying to tell her that you have to circle something, tell this person something about their medical. And sure enough, she did have a gallbladder problem or something that she remedied. And was she impressed? No, she wasn't impressed because I couldn't find her man for it. So, but I was impressed because there was no way there should be, when I printed, inked her hand three times. And so that, I still have that print, a couple of those prints on in my archives here. Why was there an indication? Why, in her case, was there a very strong indication of a problem? And she didn't even seem to give it any credulous. I really don't know. But, I've seen people's hand lines change as they become more centered. Now, the question is, have I seen anybody's hand lines change for the worse? Not really, but I can see if you're under stress too much, your hand lines, you'll fry them somehow. Yeah, the brain will go or something. Yes, the hand lines do change.
Okay. Now we're going to switch from palms because I want to ask a couple other questions since you do astrology and also tarot, okay? So when it comes to astrology, now astrology is another one that's not real easy to learn, although people think that they can just pick up a book and they can just do a chart and it's going to be, you know, whatever it is it's supposed to be. But that's not real true either, is it, Carol?
Well, astrology in the old days where all you had was books and not computers and programs. Astrology was extremely difficult because you had to learn to erect the chart. You had to do calculations on sidereal time, birth time, Greenwich Mean Time, blah, blah, blah time, set up a chart, and that was a lot of work. Today, you can buy a program, pretty decent program, that'll do all the math for you. But now you still have to know what those glyphs mean. You know, what does it mean? What do the houses mean? You have 12 different houses here. And no, astrology, I tell you what, of the three of my children, the middle child doesn't seem to be as popular anymore because it was too hard, I think, for people to grasp it. But if you have any kind of interest in knowing yourself through your chart, oh my gosh, that's a wonder. If you want to study anything, that's wonderful. So you erect a chart for a client. You get their natal chart. Okay, that means we have 12 houses and the planets are in there. And you have a moon. That means one thing. I know you're a Leo, and I can't remember where your ascendant or moon was anymore.
I'm a Sag and a Taurus.
How could I forget? Taurus rising, I think.
No, Sag rising, Taurus moon.
Taurus moon. Okay. All right, we are Leo. We have two fiery people here. Leo and Sag kind of like each other. Let's go. Taurus is, I'm putting in my feet. I mean, it'll make those fiery signs practical. It's a good thing. Okay, so the moon is more your secondary personality. So then we have to have aspects. We have to have trines and sextiles and oppositions and blah, blah, blah. It's a lot of work. Yes, it is a lot of work. And when I began to do astrology, and I thought, oh, my goodness, I had a dear friend, a Gemini friend. I still have this dear friend. We used to put a chart up on the wall. You know, we'd make a big sheet, and we'd sit there, and we'd have probably a beer, I would say. And we'd look at the chart, and we'd say, well, okay, what does this mean? All of a sudden, it's like a picture. It was language. It was wonderful. And so you begin to see, and then we have to look at our books and look at aspects, and then you can look at future, too. Actually, the chart I sent you, Nancy, that one with a three-wheel in it, that was where I wanted to show you where the progressed moon was, because that's real, you know, where in those 12 houses is your moon today? I mean, that's a real interesting thing. What I do it for clients is I want to get as much information for them as I can. You can get into the palm. If the person has the lines to read, you can get in about 3 months. And in the chart, you can get in a teeny bit closer, I think, in time-wise and aging-wise. And so the chart is a wonderful thing, and I would encourage anybody out there listening to us to pick up some books. But the word is patience. Patience. Nobody has any patience today, Nancy. Have you noticed that?
All the time.
Remember when we did classes? We did classes. You had classes for, a whole 12 weeks. We were going to learn a lot. Now you can't get anybody to come 2 times.
Yeah.
Because
no.
Everybody's busy, and I'm not knocking that. It's a different time of patience to learn something. It's a very rewarding thing to know who you are. I would caution anybody, though, that's listening, please, don't do a simple chart. Take it to your daughter-in-law's and tell her all about herself or something, because you won't know enough. Oh, Saturn is in your fourth house, boo-hoo-hoo, or, you know, because Saturn is supposed to be the guy that shows you all your crow's feet, and it's trials, restriction, learning, responsibilities, and Uranus is chaos and change. And right now, actually, for the mundane, Saturn and Uranus are fighting each other. And look at how our economy is. One day we may have a good day. Saturn wants to hold everything up and just say, okay, this is the structure that will stay the same. And Uranus goes, oh, no, boom, boom. I love chaos. And Saturn thinks it's a big guy because it's bigger than Mercury, the mind, Hermes. It's bigger than Venus, the love planet. It's bigger than Mars. It's bigger than Jupiter. But it's not bigger than Uranus. Oh, man. So they're having a fight to the finish. Boom, 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 boom. Who's going to win? Mundanely, what's going to go on with this chaos? I feel we will restructure. But as we all can tell, you don't need anybody who, you know, to say that the structure will be different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure you think we'll restructure, though.
I'm not so sure about that one.
Yeah, no, I know. You aren't so sure.
Yeah,
and I'm just saying that you were able to see this chaos long before we were having any overt problems.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to me about this last year.
Yeah.
When everything was good.
Yeah, it showed up a long time ago, actually, and I just decided to talk about it last year to try to prepare people. I do another question for you, Carol.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've done it yet or not, or if you've thought about it, but can you do, is it possible to do a progress chart, say, what is going to be coming now until 2012? You know, just in general, not, you know, just any one particular thing, but like, say, for the planet Earth.
You should be able to do that. You should be able to get, planet Earth is, you've got to have a birth. When was planet Earth born? Let's just look at something easier, like the United States.
Okay.
The birth of the United States. Is that the Declaration of Independence? We signed our documents. Would that be the birthday?
Yeah, let's
say that. We take the birthday. We take the year. We give you a natal chart. And then we progress it up and see what's going on. You should be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Because I know a lot of people right now, Carol, you know, saying about 2012, blah, 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 blah. And I just, you know, I have been told forever it's 2010. You know, and
what's 2010?
When things are going to kind of show themselves for what they really are, and from 2010 to 2015 is when all of the changes are really going to be going on in the Earth, that people can no longer go, well, I don't see that. I don't think it's happening. It's going to be very direct, and you're going to not be able to say, no, I don't believe it anymore. But, you know, so people are very leery about 2012. And I really think they should start paying better attention now. But, it's, you know, so that's why I was asking about the chart
itself. Yeah, I feel you can do that. Now, you know, the Nostradamus stuff, the predictions of gloom, and I'm not really big on that. I have a client that wants to send me his, he's in violent crimes in Chicago, and he wants to send me his cadaver prints. And I thought, oh, wow, that's a really good idea. I could see, I don't know too many people that are murdered or, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, that's really good. And then he sent me a couple and I said, you know what? No thanks. You had your, couple of nice guests on week before.
Mm-hmm.
And they seemed to share the same. I was happy to hear that. They weren't really sure about wanting to be that close. Even
right.
though it's a piece of paper at this point,
mm-hmm.
to be that close to tragedy or violence or whatever. And I don't know, maybe I feel that way about these predictions. But that's not your question. Your question is, could you do it? Sure, I think you could do it. And you can see just what we're in for. You should be able to get kind of a good look and see. We need another guy to put in there. We need Pluto. Pluto is, he likes to just... Uranus is more of, I'd say that's thunder and lightning, but Pluto is earthquakes, boy. Pluto is really the biggest guy out there. He's bigger than Uranus. And they're all having a fight right now. They're all fighting. So we're just gonna see who's gonna be able to, Pluto really doesn't have any, reconstruction. Uranus says, I'm
mm-hmm.
doing this for your good. Pluto says, I'm just knocking the whole darn thing down.
Mm-hmm.
That's my job.
Now, they said that Pluto wasn't a planet anymore.
Yes, I know the astronomers. I get a big kick out of that, that Pluto is no, I don't know, what is it, a asteroid or something now? But,
mm-hmm.
oh, my God, as an astrologer, Pluto's there, believe me. Pluto, when you work with charts, Pluto is always involved in some kind of mischief. Now, another question is, as above, so below, I mean, do I look at a chart or your hand or anybody's and say, look at this. This isn't too good. No, I mean, who leads who? Does the chart lead you or do you lead the chart?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much could you change? I mean, when I have a client, I'll always say to somebody, well, okay, there's a period here that looks a little vague to me. I'm not really crazy about it. Let's look, down maybe 2 months, 3 months, things look, you know, here's your line, it's back, blah, blah, blah. You know, this is when things would be better. I always have to tell people in my book when things are going to be better. Now, again, what if they're not going to be better? I mean, that's another story. But as far as Pluto not being a planet anymore, the astronomers, you know, they can do what they, you know, I think that's a no. Pluto's there, believe me. I was going to say, does Pluto do anything good? Well, now you can have trines, Pluto trine Venus. What's a trine? It's what they call a kind aspect. What's a sextile? That's sort of kind aspect. What's an opposition? That's really, I oppose you. And that doesn't mean I kill you. I oppose you. Maybe you'll kill it. Conjunction. That means it's a real strong thing. So if Pluto conjuncts your sun, does that mean, you know, you're done for? No. Pluto is just has a reputation of being more disruptive, but it can Pluto trine Venus. It may be, ooh, look at that love in my life now. And if Saturn's hanging around, then let me say, well, what am I going to do about it? It might not be my wife.
Mm-hmm.
You may be perfectly legitimate in the love there too, but Pluto has a tendency to put you in situations that are very intense, but not always something that can be seen.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, you know, hidden love affairs particularly, but something on that order.
Mm-hmm.
Again, don't go out and look at your chart, people, and you know, tell your spouse is cheating on you or something, because it's not that simple. This is what I have to tell people. You go to one class, you've learned how to do a chart, you've picked up one palmistry book, you've looked at lines. Nancy, you and I have worked together for many years.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen people read, and they come and they go.
Right.
And you have seen and heard some of their readings, have you not?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, see, and the thing is, Carol, there's a lot of those kind of, quote, psychics, astrologers, and all those people out there. And so it's real important that people have probably a little bit of knowledge of really what to expect before they walk into anybody's office, but not where they think that they know it all, because then that's not going to work either, but at least enough to know that you're either going to be ripped off or you're actually going to be helped somehow. And there's a lot of people out there, I don't think, Carol, that know the difference, because there's so many that say they are this or they are that. And, you know, I just want to caution everybody, because there are so many of them out there. And if something isn't feeling right, then they need to trust that first gut feeling, don't you think, Carol, and say, huh, no, I'm not where it should be, and then just leave.
Well, I agree with you, Nancy. That's easier said than done, usually, if you make the appointment and you're there. I mean, if you have to pay the money, usually, and, you know, but I'm always feeling bad about this, and yet when I look at a comparison of our financial advisors, shall we say, our
mm-hmm.
banks,
mm-hmm.
our Uncle Bernie,
mm-hmm.
I don't see that any difference than going to a not-so-hot psychic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hurtful. So we have a lot of not-so-hot doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs out there.
Mm-hmm.
And since you and I are in this business as readers or counselors, we are more interested in getting the no good mix out of there, because it's horrifying what people tell me. How many people have told me that they gave money in the egg? I can't believe that's still happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And these are people with an education, because they're fearful. They're longing for something. The first session is usually reasonable. I see a dark cloud, but I can fix it if you wrap an egg in a $100 bill. Okay, here comes the $100 bill in the egg. Okay, we crack that, but oh, guess what? The cloud is disappearing, but it's not quite done yet. I mean, there's bilking. Bilking is a terrible thing.
Mm-hmm. And
yes, and I don't know what to do about that. I don't know how much damage is done, but Uncle Bernie has done probably a lot of damage, too. I mean, that's the only thing I can say. I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah,
but
no,
you are absolutely right to tell people, please, get a reference. That
mm-hmm.
would be a big help, too, because usually if you get a reference from somebody, you know, just and have an open mind, and hopefully your spirit guides will draw you to the right person.
Carol, if somebody wanted to get a hold of you to make an appointment, how would they go about doing that?
Well, I have an email address. I have a phone number.
So why don't you give out both?
Okay, now my email is, got your pencils, you guys, out there? Carol, can now, I will spell it. CAROLECANOW.
Okay.
At AOL.com.
Okay. And do you have a phone number?
I have a phone number, 630-876-1933.
Okay. Carol, do you think if a family came to you and they had a chart done on all of the, you know, all the family members, if somehow that would help the families to understand each other better and maybe, you know, help out each other better?
Well, I don't think I would do a chart in that case, but I certainly would do the palmistry because you can see a person's emotional content in the left hand usually.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would go in your business and I would take my third baby, my tarot cards. And that's why I use the cards in a reading, not so much for a family reading, but a personal reading. What if I would say to somebody, okay, your husband and you are having trouble, or your job is changing, you're not sure you want to move to New York, or whatever it is you're having a dilemma about, because dilemmas, everybody thinks that life is black and white, at least we used to when we were younger. Life is very, very 51-49 with a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell them what I think, and then I'll say to you, well, I want to know what you think. And I use the cards a little differently than you do, I think, but I would say, okay, let's take our cards, put them on the table, let's spread them. We have 78 cards here, and I want you to pull one card with your right hand on the question and one with your left. And I will be the middle guy. I'll pull a card, too. I'll be the corpus of the brain going back and forth. And then the client gets a chance to have their left hand, right brain speak, because I think the left logic speaks, but the emotions cry and wail, but they don't speak. So I'm giving the emotions a chance to speak. And the client seems to be comforted in the fact that, okay, this is the reason you don't want to do it, or, you know, this is the reason we should do it, or, you know, then we can kind of come to an agreement with them that maybe now is not the time to move, or maybe the time is to move. I mean, they usually feel it themselves. So I like the cards for, I do a lot of, like, Sweet 16 parties and things, you know, just for a lot of fun. The kids all draw the cards, and, you know, and it's a really good way for the children who don't talk to talk because they draw it with their left hand.
Mm-hmm.
So I think a family could come together, and in one of those three disciplines, I think we could be helpful, yes.
Do you use all three of them, like when somebody comes to see you?
Yeah, I do. If we have time, this is going to take a little over an hour, but I do. And I would say when I go out and do readings in other people's homes or whatever, I just do the palm because that's the... And my baby, still my number one child, has all the answers in it. And then there's a matter of time. You know, you have a line of people and everybody wants to talk to you. You don't have time for the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you certainly don't have time to erect a chart and such like that. If I had to eliminate anything in the reading, I would eliminate the astrology. Not so much that I wouldn't do their chart, because I'm going to look at it, but I'm not going to spend too much time trying to explain it to them.
Mm-hmm.
But I will have the information, and I'll know, you know. So, yeah, I do all three, and it seems to work out. And some clients will, you know, they really just want to get to the meat of the meat of the thing, and other clients are really looking for some balance in their life. They're not really looking, you know, to be married now, or a lot of people are looking for a job. And I'll tell you one thing, if you go back to the palm, the heart line is 56 years old. I mean, when that destiny line reaches that first horizontal line of the hand, you better have a line above that, because otherwise a lot of the money you've made is being diminished at that age. You can tell. You can tell if you have a strong destiny line above the heart line. That's a real good thing.
Do, when you're doing all three of them, Carol, do they ever contradict each other?
I haven't seen that. I haven't seen that, and I am so, maybe I'm just lucky with the people I see. I'm so impressed with my clients. I mean, they're not, overtly, I won't say, you know, everybody I know is sort of spiritual and such, but they're not overtly metaphysical or anything. And that, those cards just fly out of there.
Mm-hmm.
There's energy there. Those cards just fly out of there, and it seems to parallel what I say. But it gives them more confidence that maybe this is the thing to do.
In all the years you've been doing this, Carol, which do you think that the people request the most?
These days, the tarot cards are popular. But the palm is right up there. Yeah, the palm is right up there. There's not too many people that know how to read palms, by the way. And again, I would caution anybody who goes to a palm reader, please make sure this person hasn't read just half a book, because I find the palm is the easiest method to bilk somebody. Just look at your lines. All they have to do is, I don't know, can you owe that hard on the tarot cards? I suppose you can if you get the devil or death or hierophant or something, but you can on the line so easily. I mean, it's just, it would be wonderful if you could just go, and people would buy that as much as they buy So the bilking is easy, or people just don't get it right. They don't know enough. This is a very complex study. But I would say the cards are, people come to me for the palm reading, though. They know I do palms and cards, not cards and whatever.
Okay, now you also talked about the length of the fingers. We have a few minutes left. So when you're looking at somebody's hands, Carol, give us an example of something that you would see because of the length of the fingers.
Well, the length of the middle finger, and we'll call that, give us real name, Saturn. The middle finger is the highest guy, tallest guy in the hand, and he should be half a phalange taller than the index finger, which is Jupiter, and the ring finger, which is the finger of the sun, Venus finger, really. If the finger of Saturn is too short, it doesn't go half a phalange over, there isn't a whole lot of discipline, is the theory. If your little finger is crooked or low set, that's more your Mercury finger, your thinking finger. If your phalanges, I love this stuff, phalanges, there's three in each finger, and one is more your business and one is more your philosophical. If fingers look too, if they're shorter and the palm is real wide, we call that a fiery hand. I mean, a lot of short fingers are good fingers, but somehow, if the fingers just don't look right in connection with the palm of the hand, there is what they call a philosophical hand, where the fingers are very long and tapered, and the palm is narrow. They call that the philosophical hand. And then you have the fire hand, and that's with the shorter fingers. So you can tell a lot about a person. You don't even have to look at their lines. There's a study of chorology and chiromancy. Chiromancy is lines, chorology is fingers, and dermatoglyphics is fingerprint patterns. You can tell a whole lot about a person. Now, when I get a reading, does anybody care? I've studied this for years. Nobody cares. I care. I think it's so fascinating to see your fingerprint patterns, because I can tell if you're going to be a vacillator, I can tell if you have a whirl, if you're going to be a self-starter. I could tell if you're a loop, whether you're going to need another person to join in on this effort. I think it's fascinating. But you can get a lot of information, more, I would say, about the characteristics of the person. The lines, the chiromancy, I feel you can tell in age future. But there is one book that says, don't forget, short fingers and long fingers should not get together as a couple, especially that ring finger. Short fingers want to get it over with quick. Long fingers want to go on and on. It's frustrating. That I do think works. If you want to meet somebody at the bar for a quick friendship, let's say, you better go check out the person with the flexible thumb, not the stiff thumb. So there's a lot of good practical stuff in this.
If your first finger and your ring finger are the same length, does that mean anything?
No, the first finger and the ring finger being balanced, Nancy, that's considered a balance. The index finger, Jupiter, is supposed to be the pointer guy. Jupiter, the one who wants to be the boss. Let's go. And the Venus finger, they actually call it fun, but it is a Venus finger. If those fingers are about the same length, you have a balance in your life. Now, I've seen people where the Jupiter finger, the index finger, is real short, and the Venus finger is real tall. And that's sort of like, oh, who am I going to love next? Oh, he doesn't look too good. Who cares? See? Or gamblers. Gamblers, a lot of times, have a long Venus finger. And they do well with that. I'm not sure why, but that's a good gambling finger because it's lucky, I guess.
I'll have to check out mine and see how lucky.
Yeah, check out. And then rings on a person's finger. Rings on your thumb, you're strengthening your will. Ring on your little finger. Sometimes you have a ring on the left hand. Well, again, it can't be blanket statement, but sometimes there's a sexual confusion with little finger ring people. Other people will say there's a money grabber. So when I go, if my financial guy, if I had anybody left, that is, and my financial guy says to me, if he's got ring on his little finger, there's something, you know, that has connotes a little bit of money or confusion there.
Mm-hmm. What if you don't wear rings at all?
Ah, freedom. And there's another thing. When I did prints, I would say, okay, now put your hand in any comfortable position on the page. And some people would, boom, you know, the fingerprints, those fingers are going to break off if you push them out any further.
Yeah.
Freedom. And some people will put their hands real close together, or they'll use just the edge of the paper. There's a whole piece of paper here. They use the edge of the paper. Caution. And you know, I think you can tell an awful lot about a person with the hand lines. I always would like doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs to really look at the hand lines. I'm not saying for all in alternate medicine also,
mm-hmm.
but just to see, you know, how strong is that lifeline? How strong is that brain line? How strong are these hand lines? So you should be able to tell patterns, or how red is the hand? How white is it? How blue are the lines? There's an awful lot of things I think you can tell on health.
I think that's pretty important. Can you give out the way people can get a hold of you one more time before we have to go off air?
Well, you can email me at Carol Cannell. I'll spell it CAROLECANOW at AOL.com. Phone is 630-876-1933.
And now give it out one more time.
Phone is 630-876-1933.
Carol, do you teach any classes?
Not at this time, but I've got a couple people here and there that want to know a little bit. And right now, I'm incorporating more of the spirituality and the hands, doing different spiritual techniques, seeing if we can incorporate some prana and mental energies and such like that. But I could teach.
Mm-hmm. I know. You're a very good teacher.
I talk a lot. That's
all right. you know, explain a lot. A lot of people, you know, like I said, they'll just pick up a book and then they'll read it and they'll think that they know all about it. And I just want people to understand that that's really not the case, that it does take time, it takes effort, and it takes a lot of knowledge if you're going to go out and try to tell somebody else something
yeah.
about
yourself. And there, I'm sorry, but you know, we only have time, but William Benham, The Language of the Hand. Oh, no, it's William Benham, B-E-N-H-A-M, The Laws of Scientific Hand Reading. Very good book if you want to get that one. Some books are not so good, and but that's a good one, and so is Cairo, C-H-E-I-R-O, Language of the Hand. And go to your library. They have books on palmistry, and just kind of take a peek at it. And then love yourself. Don't be frightened if you see a break or a change. Just love yourself through the lines of the hands. And I thank you so much, Nancy, for having me as your guest.
Why, thank you for being on, Carol. It's been a while since we've talked a little bit, but, you know, knowledge is always great, and you did a very good job today.
Well, I thank you. You're a wonderful hostess with the mostest.
Well, thanks. Anyway, thanks for being on, Carol, and we'll have to get together soon, seeing how we haven't seen each other in a while.
I know. Well, I see your face on my computer. That helps me.
Good. Anyway, thanks again, and I'd like to thank you, the listeners. I hope you had a great time. The handprint is up on the site if you want to check out your hands and kind of remember what Carol said or listen to it again. Anyway, may God bless all of you. Have a great week, and I hope your Valentine's Day went well, and take care. Bye now.